we began, sort of backdoored a series last week. Jackie talked to you about, who was here last Sunday? I'm not taking attendance, I'm just asking that to ask the question so that it'll be relevant for somebody. Do you remember what you talked about? What was the verse that you looked at last week? Thank you. Micah, give me an address. 6:8. Now, I do have a prize. It's not Roger's chocolate. It's much healthier. It's Blue Diamond Smokehouse Almonds. I know. You know what that is? They're not chocolate covered. Sorry. But so good for you. This is the good fats, right? So, am I right? Okay. The doctor doesn't know. Okay. Yikes. Can you tell me what Micah 6:8 says? You can use the short phrases that would be the content of what Jackie talked about. As you're thinking about that, and you can think for a second, don't look it up, right? I know you're going there. And I know she asked you to remember it by the end. We are going to be looking at a couple of passages over the course of the next couple of weeks until summer's end. And that's going to be for us September 3rd. And this was one of them, Micah 6:8. One of your favorites, I think. Anybody have it? Top of your head. Okay, go. Seek justice, love mercy, walk hungrily with your God. Walk hungrily. Walk hungrily. I said hungrily. You said the right one. Excellent. That's right. So those things in mind. That's the verse we looked at last week. And even Shirley and I, this week, were talking about it in the office. And we couldn't get the order right. And I don't know if the order is particularly critical. I think it's the heart of the verse and what's required is to have a heart turned towards God. But so if you're like me and you want to actually memorize it in order, I've decided to memorize it this way. So instead of seek justice, I have remembered it as act justly, I think is how it's put in some versions. Pardon me? Some versions, but seek is another way. Alphabetically, act justly. Love, L, mercy, walk humbly. Act, love, walk. This morning we're looking at a slightly different verse, but before I get there, I'm going to ask you, who's been to a wedding this summer? Who's been to a wedding? Put your hand up. All right, we had some weddings. Very good. I had the privilege, and I mean that actually, of officiating a wedding this weekend, on Friday actually. And isn't that a curious term, really? I officiated a wedding. Like, what do you expect is going to break out that's requiring officiating, right? Like, will there be a legal procedure on the wedding kiss itself because they kissed too early? It would be too much gazing into each other's eyes as to not focus on what's going on. Like, you know, flag on the play, they're just not focused kind of thing. One of my favorite wedding reception rituals is what the witnesses, you know, so the people that are there, need to do to encourage the groom to kiss the bride, like the groom needs any encouragement at all, right? So the couple that I was able to officiate their wedding on Friday is actually a couple. She had been a worker at Bayshore for a long time, Bayshore Home, and we have members of Bayshore here this morning. Lisa and Jeff are here. So Len and Tanya. Len and Tanya, for their part, to encourage the groom to kiss, did the very classic tinkling of the glasses. Kind of, that's sort of, it's so old, it's new now kind of thing, right? What are some of the things that you've had to do at your weddings to get the couple to kiss? Just where you are, yell it out. Tell a story, right? Okay, good one. Donate money. That is brilliant. If I had known that. Jackie, where was that like 26 years ago? Was that your best friend's wedding? Was it because, not your wedding? No, you just asked for cash in advance of the reception itself. Excellent. Okay, what else? Train whistles? Oh, that's right. That's right. Who was that? It was no one, Emily. That's right. What? What? I was walking away. Don't talk to me while I'm walking away. Sorry, go ahead. Just kidding. What? It wasn't for everybody. Okay. That last bit wasn't for everybody. Kev. Sing a song. Yeah. So, and even this summer, we had a wedding we went to where you had to demonstrate the kind of kiss that you'd like the couple to reproduce for you, right? So sure enough, someone goes crazy and gets hung upside down by a couple of friends, and they do the Spider-Man kiss, right? This is a big deal. But back to the song one. I love the song one. One of my favorite kissing game is when your table, when you invite your table to sing a song with the word love in it, right? Have you had this experience? Okay. I love it because I love singing O Canada. It's fun to watch people's reaction to us, our table, when we start to sing the anthem at our table as if to prompt the couple to kiss. Like they're incredulous. They're saying, like, why are they singing the national anthem? That's kind of dumb, right? So then we get to it, and I want you to sing it with me, okay? Ready? On three. One, two, three. O Canada, our home and native land. Thank you. True patriot love. That's it. You may be seated. Rick, Ray, well done. Nice. It's good. I love that. It's very easy to toss the word love around, isn't it? I think. Let me demonstrate. I have a coin here. What I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to pitch a coin at you. And I want it back, by the way. I'm going to toss a coin at you. And in tossing it, I'm going to say I love something, talk about something I love, use the word love in that phrase, and I'm going to give you 5 seconds to do the same and toss the coin back to me. Okay, you ready? So, and I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to toss it to, so be ready and protect your eyes. Ready? I love chocolate. One. Phil. You love Phil. Oh, that's good. I love that you love Phil. Nice catch. I said I love that I love Phil. Yeah, I love flowers. Okay, good. Let's see here. I love Jackie.
I like orange juice.
You love orange juice. Okay. Let's see back there. I love your hair.
Excellent.
I love my wife. Okay. Okay. I love to play tennis. Wendy, how about you? Nice one-hand grab.
I love
singing. Yeah. Absolutely. One more. I'm going to go to the back there. Okay, classes, I'm coming your way. Get ready. And specifically, it's going to be Jillian. I love Tim Hortons. You work at Starbucks. You love sleeping in. There you go. Spoken like a true young adult or teen. That's good. I love sleeping in. Yeah, those were the days, eh? All right. What did love mean in those phrases? And how sincere were we when we used the word? How would you feel, for instance, if you had a girlfriend or boyfriend or a spouse, if your girlfriend or boyfriend or spouse used only weak, somewhat insincere phrases like some of those to express their love for you? Love, as Ray reminded us a couple of Sundays ago, is the chief command of the scriptures that Jesus gives us to love the one who created us and to love one another. In fact, as we were singing Overwhelmed, I thought I would ask you to imagine coming out of that, just responding to that song. Can you remember that time when you were so overwhelmed by someone's love for you? That memory probably comes pretty quickly, pretty easily, because it was that powerful. When we sing that song, Overwhelmed, typically I think of it in terms of God is God, and I am, as Louis Giglio would describe us, a significant insignificance. But he's God of the universe, and I'm overwhelmed. I don't want you to characterize that today. I would challenge you to think of it differently today. This is how it struck me. That you would be completely filled, every pore of your being, with a knowledge and a memory of his enormous and overwhelming love for you. You'd be so crushed by it. You'd be brought to tears by it. Because in that moment, you may remember it, you couldn't imagine being more loved. That's how he overwhelms us. But what is love? What is love? We do toss it about, that word, too much. And of course, when you do that with any word, the word itself loses its meaning. So let's turn in our Bibles, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. I spent some time in this passage this weekend, and I'm going to apologize right now to Clint and Gloria because, yes, I'm going back there. So, yeah. In fact, if you feel like you got it, you can come up and you can do some of it for me. That'd be awesome. I'm still not, yeah, okay. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, wow, we have it up there. Nice. You rock. This is such a common passage. It's the wedding passage. It would be easy to look at it, read it, and completely miss it. So I'm going to ask you to take your time with me as we read it together. And I want you to invite the Holy Spirit of God to pop something for you. For the Holy Spirit of God to say, "You're very good at this. You do this well. Hi, puppy. You do this super well. I love working with you on this." To borrow from Chris's prayer, it's beautiful to watch you shine. Or it might be the Holy Spirit saying, "Here's an area in your heart. If you would let me transform it a little bit, oh, how you will love much better." And you know what? If you do that, you're going to be loved much better. Because that's God's economy. God's always about win-win. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. It's a kind of checklist, isn't it? And I don't want you to look at it by way of it being that checklist that condemns you. Oh, I don't do this. I so suck. I hope you don't receive it that way. But I do think it's something to shoot for, or a description, a series of adjectives describing what you can be like and become like, a person, actually. So love is patient. Let's begin there, with problems and with personalities. I just got back from New Brunswick this week, where my sister, my brother, and I met up with my mom for a rare holiday with her in her home province. My mom is 82 years old and survived a heart surgery last year, had a valve replacement two springs ago. My brother, Steve, lives in Orlando, where he's a bigwig for a large textbook manufacturer on the East Coast. And my sister, Kathy, is a teacher for Edmonton Catholic Schools. Things moved really slowly last week between my mom and my sister, who got up late, who took their time getting ready for the day, had some toast, drank some coffee, washed their faces, made their beds. Like, really? We didn't do much together before noon, at which time we met for lunch. It was a lot of waiting. Waiting for our day to begin together. Waiting on my mom to go to and fro, in and out of the car, on our ways to the beach, grocery stores, even to a dinner theater experience that my sister-in-law posted pictures of us on Facebook. Some of you have seen that and responded to that already. But love is patient. It wouldn't have been very loving of me to huff and puff while I waited. That's not loving, right? It wouldn't have been loving if I said things like, well, it's about time, right? Or, is it still August? Not super loving to shame people for making me wait. So I waited patiently, smiling, praying, looking to help. And I adjusted my expectations and my own schedule. So I took time in the mornings to do some exercises, to spend some time in the Word, to go for a walk. And in general, by the way, to be more patient, here's my recommendation to you. Always carry something to read, right? So that if you're waiting, you can redeem the time by reading. I just got back from New Brunswick this week, but it took a lot longer than I thought it would last Saturday. I was, as Jackie mentioned, eager to get back and wanted to be here last Sunday, but our flight got canceled around 1 o'clock Moncton time. It was rescheduled for 8 hours later that evening, landing in Toronto just after 11 o'clock with a layover in the Big Smoke, which is an ironic thing to say these days, given our smoking conditions here. So we were going to have to hang out in the airport in Toronto from midnight to 7 a.m. when our flight took off. And that's how you want to spend holiday time right there. I was traveling with my sister. We were told that we'd be given food vouchers at each airport, that the carrier would not provide hotel accommodations in Toronto because they aren't responsible, evidently, for cancellations due to weather, which is fair enough, right? But that we could otherwise stay in the traveler's lounge in the comfortable Toronto airport. We got our food vouchers in Moncton, waited until we were hungry enough to actually use them, and saw right before our eyes the only food restaurant establishment closed without us getting any food. So Tim Hortons on one side, clearing security, Tim Hortons on the other side, closed at 7:30 p.m. with nothing for us to eat until we landed into Toronto, where we discovered the lounge was not open at night. So it looked like we were going to be sleeping on benches in the airport together, my sister and I. So we took up our cause with our waiting WestJet agent. We were exhausted. We were discouraged. And yet, I don't know, you know, so I think this is the piece that surpasses understanding. I think I am a child of God, right? If you are, you are. And then you know that life isn't easy because Jesus said you're going to have trouble, but it's okay. I've overcome the trouble. We'll overcome it together. I had this extraordinary calm, which is unreal because I was exhausted. And I just turned to Kathy, my sister, and I said, you know, something's going to work out. I have great faith that God's going to do something here. So the WestJet agent was stunned to learn that the Moncton Tim Hortons closed at when it did. Our agent was stunned that we were told that we couldn't use the lounge, or that we could use the lounge because she knew that it was closed. And our agent was stunned that we were told we could not qualify for a hotel room. So she immediately gave us food vouchers. We had a very nice dinner. Then she made some calls to local hotels and secured a room for us. She gave us vouchers for taxis to and from the hotel and a voucher for the hotel itself. Nothing of charge to us. Whereas others were booking hotels, you know, busily in the airport as they're coming off the plane, and someone I heard rumored had booked a hotel room and it costed them $400 that night because all the flights were being canceled and hotels were very hard to find in the Toronto area. So it seems that patience isn't just loving. It also pays off once in a while. Love is kind. How can we possibly be loving and kind to someone at the same time, for instance? Love doesn't envy. A loving person is happy for others, for the things they have, and is content with what they have. A loving person congratulates people who have more success than they do, applauds them when they finish first. Love doesn't brag. A loving person doesn't tell you how good he is, that he's all that in a bag of chips. He's not proud of himself, but he is proud of others. And a loving person is never above learning from his failures. How could love ever be rude? A loving person doesn't say, I love you, you're a jerk. Rudeness is the antithesis of kindness. Rudeness hurts others. Kindness is disposed to caring for others with sympathy and with consideration. Love is also not only self-seeking, because the footnote here would be we ought to love others as we love ourselves, but loving people also seek what is best for others, just as God, in his love for us, seeks what's best for us. Love is not easily angered. How could it be? Anger is selfish. And it can be self-consuming, actually. Anger, if it's ever helpful, and we can make the argument in the scriptures it's never talked about positively, it's only helpful when it produces compassion in us, when it creates what Bill Hybels would call holy discontent. Love doesn't hold grudges. A loving person forgives and moves forward. Choosing to forgive, actually, time and again. Not the same offense necessarily, but every time that offense comes to mind, choosing to forgive again. I choose to forgive. I choose to trust you with that, Jesus. Rebuilding trust when possible and setting boundaries when necessary. To love self properly and to want what's best for the other, including sometimes not enabling destructive behaviors. Love loves the truth. Love doesn't lie, doesn't tell half-truths, doesn't withhold important information. Loving people tell the truth and celebrate the truth every time the truth wins the day. Because truth, as I said on Friday, always leads to freedom. Love always protects and trusts and hopes and perseveres. In other words, a loving person always covers the shortcomings of others, balances the weaknesses in others, just as others balance the weaknesses in them. A loving person always points to the lifeline ahead for the hurting to hold onto. They borrow hope for the other. A loving person always loves the other for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, whether they are married or not. A loving person is always a friend to the end. A loving person is not a fair-weather friend. Love doesn't fall or falter. It isn't based on whims or feelings or passing fancies. I've used this as an illustration before. During the famous balcony scene in the play Romeo and Juliet, Romeo pledges or begins to pledge his love to Juliet with these words. You may remember them from grade 10 English. Oh, we loved grade 10 English. Lady, by yonder blessed moon I swear that tips with silver all these fruit tree tops. Juliet, however, cuts him off and says, oh, swear not by the moon, the inconstant moon, that monthly changes in her circled orb, lest that thy love prove likewise variable. Juliet, you see, had it right. Love shouldn't wax and wane. It should be steady and constant. It should not fall under the weight of tough times. It should not fail when circumstances prove difficult. Love never fails. How could it? Like, when is loving someone a bad idea? These ways of love are ways to shoot for, ways to become like Christ. And I would tell you a story about Jesus, but I think I'm pressing my time. Yes. So let's skip a portion here. Jesus, imagine your story. Jesus Christ embodied this kind of love. So some would say you could easily insert Jesus' name into this text where the word love is and have the same meaning. Let's do this. Can I have maybe one volunteer from each section come and help me at this time? Just come up, one from each section. I have a little bit of a takeaway for you here. Thanks, Jeevan. I'll give that to you. And thanks, Doug. I'll give that to you. If you could just pass one out to each person. Thanks. And if you need a writing stick, if you do not have a writing stick with you, please take your writing stick out now if you have one. If you don't, I'm going to ask someone else from each section if they'll go along and just hand out pencils for me. Can I ask you to do that? Thanks, buddy. You got it? I am dropping them. That's my bad. And I'll take any extra pencils you might have. Oh, you don't need pencils. You've come prepared. That's I could have done that much better, honestly. Okay. That was awful. There you go. All right. There may be a slide for this, Patty. I'm not sure. Is there? It is. Okay. Pencils. Pass them along. There you go. So what you have before you is a summary sheet, basically, of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And for lack of better ways of describing it or giving it a title, it is called the Love List. So what I'd like you to do, and you can do this right now, and this would be in parcel with what I asked you to be praying about earlier. Remember, I'd asked you to invite the Holy Spirit to challenge you to consider how these things so much. Some of these things are on display in your life, and you can even thank him for that. And then otherwise, where some of these things aren't on display. So, to walk through it, after each item, write the answer to this question, and using the letter R, L, or N, how frequently have you demonstrated this quality in the last week? So, patience. How often? Would you say regularly, a little bit, not at all? Boastful, R, L, N, and so on, until you get to the end where it says proud. We should have like music or something. Maybe I'll just sing a song. So work through the list. That's the first question. And then you'll see the second and third directions on your sheet. Oh, don't you worry. I'll get you one. Oh, it's coming. Don't even think you're not getting one. You're welcome. One for each of you, okay? Do you want a pencil, guys? You need a pencil? Oh, you got pencils. Again, invite the Spirit of God, right? Because we want to love like this. And be loved like this. Once you've worked through this 15 and you've put an R or an L or an N beside each statement, just one of those letters, then I'd like you to circle. Oh, that's brilliant. You are awesome. I'm like, where is that coming from? Oh, I miss you, Tony. Gee. We're doing some church today. Then I'd like you to circle two positive qualities that you think your life shows reasonably consistently. Can't find two. I don't think that's true at all, Danny. I think you'll find way more than two. Again, this is not, I've arrived. This is I'm aiming for. I want to be more characterized by. Who amongst us does not want to be more loving? We're given the script here. We're inviting then the third direction through prayer. Thanksgiving. Thanks, Lord, for partnering with me to make me more loving. I see it in evidence here and here. My anger, actually, over the course of growing up with you, has become less and less quick, less and less hot, less and less consistent, like whatever it is. There was a time in my life when I was younger where I used to talk about myself all the time, and I was pretty proud, and I couldn't be corrected. I didn't take correction well. If someone made a suggestion, I thought it was dumb because it wasn't as good as mine. I'm doing that less now. I can hear things from people and not be threatened about who I am, so insecure that I can't hear good suggestions and acknowledge it as a good suggestion. This isn't just for marriages. This is for any relationships we find ourselves in with the humans. Oh, Carrie. As you're as you're doing that, I'll let you finish that, and you can finish that in your own time at home. My challenge is going to be, before I forget, that you have that somewhere where it's handy this week, and you've identified either something that you want to develop, which is a positive, which God has worked out of you already to some degree, and you're saying, I love that in me, I love you in me showing that out there. Or it is, I want to work on this piece, Lord. Would you come and by your Spirit help me to see it clearly, help me to identify it when it happens, help me to apologize for it when I do it, help me to do it less. That's your challenge this week. You know what? Are we good to go? I've lost track of time. I'm so excited to be back. I just lost. Bless you. Shall I wrap up there, Jackie? What's the word? Let's wrap it up. 1 John 4, 7. No, we'll wrap up. Let's pray. Kevin, are you ready to go shortly? Okay. Let's pray.